Begin the current daf, Masechta Zevachim, daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the discussion explaining the previous Mishnah, which the Mishnah was discussing an exception to the rules of the liability of doing the Avodah B'chutz. And the first one that it spoke about was the Paraduma, the red heifer, which is not done in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, but rather it's done on a neighboring mountain. Now, however, there is a designated place of where it's done, and that is what the Mishnah said, that if someone does, which is the topic of this parak, the word parashatas, if someone does the avoid of the paraduma, that he burns its chutz megita out of its pit, and so to other items, although it's not being done in its appropriate place. However, for that, one's not going to be liable for the iser of avoid of chutz, of doing it outside of the area where it's supposed to be done. Now, on that, the Mishnah explained the reason for that is because, like it says in the pasuk, el pesach el moed, where he didn't bring it to the opening of the El Moed, which is generally the liability of doing it b'chutz, but the parashatas paradum is never done anyway in the Pesach El Moed. It's done on the neighboring mountain, and therefore, if one doesn't do it where it's supposed to be, it's not violating this system. But now the Gemara explains the terminology of the Mishnah, my chutz migita. What does it mean, out of its pit? What does that mean? Where was this pit? Why is there a designated pit that we're describing for the burning of the paraduma, which then they take those ashes, mix it with certain water, and then use it to spray on someone that becomes tummy from a mess. So Amar Shlakish, she says, it means chutz mi makom habadukla. Yeah, because there is a designated pit. What does it mean, its pit? How could you say it's not where it's supposed to be done? Well, where is there exactly a place? So Shlakish explains there is a specific place because it has to be inspected first to be slaughtered over there to make sure when you're doing the avodah of the paraduma that there is no what's known as kever tahayim beneath that area, which is a pit where someone's buried beneath that area, which could be concealed, where it could contaminate the avodah that's being done over there, since it has to be done b'tahara, so it has to be inspected first. That's the makom kavua of the paraduma, where it's being done, it's the inspected pit, and only then you could do the avodah over there. And then we're saying, if you don't do it there, you do it outside over there, although it's not the appropriate place, because it wasn't inspected, it wasn't where it was established, so one's not going to be liable for this isra of b'chutz. On this interpretation of Rosh Lakish, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says to him, but Balei Kol Eretz Yisrael Badukehi. What do you mean? The whole entire Eretz Yisrael is considered inspected and clean from Tumah, from its ritual impurity, as Gemara is going to explain later on the Machlekes. So therefore, how could you say that's its Gita, its pit, is where it was checked to make sure there's no Tumah? What do you mean? The whole Eretz Yisrael, it's verified that there's no Tumah. So why would it have to be checked? Elam Rabbi Yechon rather gives a different interpretation. It says, what we're talking about over here, what does it mean, chutz megita? What's out of the place? You could do it anywhere. No, if it's being done within the walls of Yerushalayim, because the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yotzeh, v'haitzi aisa, paradim has to be done out of the walls of Yerushalayim. If you don't do it in the place where it's supposed to be done, which is outside, but rather you do it in the walls of Yerushalayim, so that's going to be invalid. In spite of that, although you're not doing it in its appropriate place, that's what the Mishnah is teaching, one's not going to be liable for the Isser of Chutz. Now, on this interpretation, Rabbi Yechon asked the Gemara, Bevelukmu, why couldn't he just explain, Kegon Sheshachta Chutz Lachem? No, it was done, as the Pasuk says, out of the walls of Yerushalayim. But Shalei Keneged HaPesach, but simply that it was done not facing the opening of the Heichal, directly paralleling the entryway of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Amar Avad Bar Avi says, Shachata Shalei Keneged HaPesach Psula. So someone slaughters the Paraduma not facing directly opposite the entryway of the Beis HaMikdash, it's invalid. Shlomach says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, V'shachat, to slaughter the Paraduma, then says, V'hizat, to spray from its blood. Now, we learn from the comparison of these two halachas, Ma'aza asa keneged ha-pesach, just like the spraying of the blood is done directly towards the opening of the heichel, as the pasuk says, El noichach p'nei el mayed, af shechita asa keneged ha-pesach. So the slaughtering has to be directly opposite its entryway. So why do Yechon have to say, it's talking about inside the walls of Yerushalayim, why couldn't it be outside? Just a different invalidation called chutz megita, if it's not done facing the pesach el mayed. Now, says the Gemara, V'chitim Adolei Makash, and if you're going to say that he disagrees with your interpretation of Rabbi Ava, and he does not hold up this heckish equation of the two psukim of slaughtering and spraying, that just like spraying has to be directly opposite the Pesach HaMoed, so to the slaughtering, but in that is the Gemara, it's not true, because V'yidma, we learned that he explicitly does say this. The halacha was said, Shchata Shalei Keneged HaPesach, if someone slaughters the Paraduma, not directly facing from this mountain to the other mountain, directly opposite the opening of the Heichel, Rabbi Yechidin Amar Psula says explicitly like Ravada Barabba that it is going to be invalid because V'shachat V'hizi, you have the hekish of slaughtering to spring. Rishlokesh Amakshir, he actually says it's valid because Al Mechutz Lamachna V'shachat, it just says to do it out of the camp, but then you slaughter it. It doesn't say about it being Pesach El Moy like it does regarding the Zrika. So to Vit Manami, we learned, Sarafa Shalaka Negada Pesach, if it's burnt not directly opposite the opening, Rabbi Yechonam Absula, he says, going to be invalid. And Rabbi Yeshua Amak Sheri says, going to be valid. Why? So the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yechonam Absula says, invalid because of a Sarafa Hiza. We have this Hekesh again of burning to spraying, because after that it talks about spraying the blood, it talks about burning the paraduma. So we have the same type of a Hekesh as we had regarding the slaughtering. Rabbi Yeshua Amak Sheri says, no, it's valid because the Pasuk says, Al Pirsha Yisraif, which tells us that the paraduma has to be burnt with its waste matter, but we interpret the word pirsha not just as waste, but makom shepereshes lamisa, the place where it became separated for death, the place where its soul left at the end of when it keeps on shaking, when it thrashes around, that doesn't establish a place, wherever it is that the animal dies. Shamtei sreifasa, that's where it's going to be burnt. It doesn't have to be burnt directly opposite Pesach al Moed. But one thing we see, as according to Rabbi Yechonon, the avoidance of the paraduma all have to be Pesach Ha'el Mayid. So why does he have to say Chutz Migita means within the walls of Yerushalayim, and that's not the place it's supposed to be? You could just say it's outside, but just not Pesach Ha'el Mayid. So Amri, they said, you're right, but Loi Mibayah Kamar. He was saying, give me the bigger Chiddush. Loi Mibayah Chutz Lechem, we don't have to say that regarding if it's being done outside the walls of Yerushalayim, if it's not Kenegida Pesach. With Derechayki Rachaka, you're taking it further away from the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course there's going to be Pasal, although it's not going to be liable for Shchut Echutz. Ela, Fiddle of Nimenachem, but that's Rabbi Yechonon is saying, that even if it's within the walls of Yerushalayim, the Krevi Karva, where you're making it closer, the Eima Teskash, and therefore I would say it's going to be valid, Kamash Malan, that no, it's not going to be valid, because it's not where the Halacha says that's supposed to be outside the walls, you do it inside the walls, it's not going to be valid. That's the psul of Chutz Mikita. But yeah, of course, it would be also Chutz L'Chaima when it's not Pesach El Maid. And of that, the Mishnah is saying that even though, whichever case it is, but the bigger Chiddush Rabbi Yechonon is saying within the walls, although it's going to be Pasul, but it's not going to be liable for the Isser of doing the Avodah Bachutz, because that's only like the Pasuk says, if it's not brought up Pesach El Maid, here where anyways it's not supposed to be brought up Pesach El Maid, if one doesn't do where it's supposed to be, it's not going to be liable for this Isser of Bachutz. Now, Amamar, the Gemara had mentioned that Amalei Rabbi Yechonon, Yechonon said back to Rish Lakish, to his interpretation of what's Chutz Megita, he says means Chutz Mimakom HaBatikla. If it's outside the area which was first checked to make sure there's no Kever Tahim, there's no buried person beneath that area where you're doing the Avoid, which would then contaminate the Paraduma. So Rabbi Yechonon said to him, Valo Kol Eretz Yisrael Paduki. What do you mean? The whole Eretz Yisrael is inspected already. It's already considered verified that there's no Tumah. Why would you have to check it to say that that's the Makom HaBatikla, which is the Gita? So I'm asked the Gemara, but Mike and Mephili, so what are they disagreeing about? Why does Rish Lakish not agree to that? Says the Gemara, Mar Savar, Rish Lakish held, Yorid Mabul Eretz Yisrael. The Mabul, the flood that came in the times of Noach, that reached and hit also Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there were bones of all the people that had died that are scattered all over Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we do assume that this Tumah, with all the dead people that were not buried in cemeteries, just dead all over the place. So if we have to inspect the place to be considered Gita. Omar Savalayarit, but Rabbi Yechonon held not, no, the Mabul did not come down on Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there are no dead people just scattered all around. Therefore, it's considered Baduka that assumed to be Tar throughout Eretz Yisrael. Now, that explains the Gemara. Menachem Bar Yitzchok, he says, Vishnei Mekre Echadershem, both of them are interpreting from the same Pasuk in Yecheskel. Pasuk says, Ben Adam, son of man, Emor La, say to it to the land of Israel, At Eretz Le Mutaharahi, you're a land that's not purified. Not rained upon in the day of fury, referring to the Mabul. Now, Rabbi Yechonon Sabar, he held, Atzmu mat makra. The Pasuk is saying it in the term of bewonderment. Eretz Yisrael? Miloy mitaharat? Aren't you purified? Klum yerd alecha gesham b'yemzam? Do you think that it rained upon you in the day of fury? No, it didn't. You're pure. It did. The Mabul didn't come down over there. Rish Lakish Sabar, Kapasha, Rish Lakish, however, held, according to its literal, simple translation, Eretz Lo Mutaharat, you're not a purified land. Milo Yarda Lecha Gesham and B'yom Zam, don't you think the rain came down on you also on the day of fury? The Mabul also hit Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's bones scattered throughout. Now, Eitz V'Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechonon, from a Mishnah Masechtas Para, that would seem to indicate, like Rish Lakish, that the Mabul did hit Eretz Yisrael, and that we do assume this Tumah throughout scattered Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah says, Chatzeres Hoyi B'Yerushalayim, there were this courtyard in Yerushalayim, that were Benuyas Al Hasela, that was built on bedrock, which means to say that no one's digging over there, making graves over there. And for Tachtei and Chalon, even more than that, it was beneath the bedrock, was open space, which means it wasn't contiguous in the ground. There was hollow space beneath the area. And the reason why was when they kever atahayim, was as a prevention for the kever from the deep. Meaning, if there is a grave beneath the area, even let's say deep layers down from generations before, the empty space is going to interpose and intercept, and the tumah is not going to go ahead and continue going upwards to mitama whoever's on the ground above the area because of that space that keeps it over there in that area. However, because in contrast, what's known as tumah ritzutza, if a tumah is confined, which means there's no open space, let's say in a regular grave where you're surrounded by earth and it just goes up and up and up, the tumah is going to continue going up all the way up until the sky, and therefore to prevent, even if there is a kever tumah somewhere beneath this bedrock, that open space, which then limits the tumah to that area, doesn't continue going upwards to whoever's on top. So these courtyards are clean from tumah. So then they would bring pregnant women who would give birth over there in those courtyards. And that's the whole purpose of why they had these courtyards. Because then they would bring up those children for the avoda of the paraduma. Now the reason for this is because they would actually contaminate the kohen who was going to burn the paraduma that day. Why? Because of the tzedukim, the Sadducees, who they actually said that it has to be done with someone who has hair of shemesh, sundown. So they would do many different preventions, since they actually contaminated the kohen to disprove that, to make him a tefillin. They did other things to make extra levels of tahara, so as not to be disgraceful with the standards of tahara, that all the other kohanim were not able to touch this kohen for 7 days that it was separated. And more than that is that the children would go ahead, who would fill up the mechatas, they would go ahead and spray on this purse, on this kohen, to make him, that is at least a tful yom, that he, although they were metamim, that he was considered that he was immersed that day and sprayed on with purifying water. Now, regarding these children, they were too young to have any tumah, and also they're in an area that's free of tumah. So then they would bring these oxen, and on top of these oxen, they would put these doors, which would be another level of separation from the children and the ground. Because if the children are, let's say, on their way to go draw the water, they would lean over the animal, there might be a tumah beneath, that they might become tummy from tumas oil of leaning over. So that they shouldn't be leaning over on any kever tahaim, on the area where they're going to go fill up the live water to be used from, they would draw from the mei shaluach, to use for the sanctification process, which this kayin was going to use as part of the avoid of the paraduma. And the tinekiz yeshin alein, and the children would sit on those doors which were on top of these oxen. The kaisa shall even be yad, and moreover, and these are all levels of stringencies regarding tahara, they had stone cups, because all the activities of the paraduma were done with either dung or stone vessels, which do not receive tumah, as the Gemara explains this at length in the beginning of Masechtas Yuma. Umilu, then they would fill up the water from the shiluach, and then they would go back up onto the oxen, v'yashiv mekamen, and they would sit in their places. But one thing that we see from here, says Rosh Lakish Rabbi Yechanan, is that obviously the whole Eretz Yisrael is not inspected, because then what's the whole point of this whole activity? This is all Eretz Yisrael. If you tell me that it's all pure, so why do they have to do this, make this chatzar that's on bedrock, has open space and blocking the areas beneath the ground in case there is a kever, and then these children would be brought up over there, and then they would go on these oxen with doors on it, with stone vessels, all these different things. What's the problem? There's no, anyways, vulnerability to tumah throughout Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi says, no, Maila Asa B'Para, it's not difficult on Rabbi Yechanan, because of all the leniencies that we did, because of the tzedukim, who they said that it has to be done with a kohen who had sundown already, which is usually the case to be considered purified. Therefore, actually, the Perushim, the Sanhedrin, said that they have to make the kohen tamei, and then purify him, meaning let him go immerse in the mikvah, and then he should be the one to burn as a tful yom, who was only immersed that day, didn't have sundown yet. And that was to disprove that the tzedukim that said that, who didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, said that no, he has to have sundown, and the halacha is actually that not. So to counter that leniency, which they did specifically to come to exclude from the tzedukim, so they did many other stringencies so that not to be disgraceful. But of course, the Rabbi Yechanan would hold that if, let's say, they did slaughter it in a place which was not inspected, it would not become invalidated because the whole Eretz Yisrael is beduka. This that they did with these children, with the levels of stringency, that was just as what's called Maila Ba'alma, as a stringency But of course, for sure in the case of Bidi Ebed, that would not be Ma'akir because we do not assume Tumo, that says Rabbi Yechanan, throughout Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Now, Rabbi Yechanan has to Rish Lakish from the following Braisa. Pam Echad Matsu Atzamis Belishkas Dereitzim. One time they found bones in one of the chambers in the base, in the Azara, in the place where the wood was stored. They wanted to decree Tum and Yerushalayim. Whereas we're finding bones, there might be people buried all over. They wanted to say that Yerushalayim will have a status of Tumah. So Amr Bishua Raglav Amr, so Bishua stood up on his feet and he said, Leibusha Uklima Hilanu, isn't this a disgrace and embarrassment for us? Shenigza Tumal Era Vesenya, that they're going to decree a state of impurity on the city of our fathers? Ayyimesim Mabel, where are the dead from the flood, which are found throughout the rest of the world, and here it's not found? Ayyimesim Nebuchadnezzar, where are those who were killed by Nebuchadnezzar, who, although they were killed when they destroyed Eretz Yisrael, but they were totally cleared away, and none of them are found in Eretz Yisrael? So obviously, it's clear and it's clean. So says the Gemara, Medika Amar Hachi, so from the fact that Yerushua has said this, Lav Lamemar Dulehava, isn't that to say, because, what do you mean? He was saying that the bones of the people of the Mabul are not here because it didn't happen there to Yisrael. And it is considered pure and Baduka, not like Rish Lakish. And that says Rish Lakish, L'tamech, according to your reasoning, Arugin Nebuchadnezzar, Hachanamid Lehava, what do you mean? What, those who were killed by Nebuchadnezzar weren't killed and they weren't dead all over in Eretz Yisrael? Of course they were, because Nebuchadnezzar came and killed the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Elahava upeninu, rather they were killed, but just they were cleared away. So chename have upeninu, so don't tell me that the Mabul didn't happen, that people weren't killed in Eretz Yisrael. Rather they were, but then they were cleared away. So on that as the Gemara, and the Rish Lakish is saying this, now vi'i afni, but then the difficulty is, but then if they were cleared away, as we continue to have a base, then ho'ifani, so then they were cleared away. So either way, okay, fine. You don't want to say that the Mabul didn't happen, it did happen. But either way, like Rabbi Shu is comparing it to the Mason Nebuchadnezzar, but then they were cleared away. Seriously, they cleared away. So then you're back to Rabbi Yechanan's point. So they're cleared away. So anyways, we should assume that's Baduka, not like Rish Lakish, who assumes that there is Tama. And that says Rish Lakish, no, Nehidi Ifani Yerushalayim. Although that they were cleared away from Yerushalayim, but Mekule Eretz Yisrael Lo Yifani. But from the whole Eretz Yisrael, they were not cleared away. Meaning Rabbi Shu is going in regards to Yerushalayim. Irab Yisenu. But the whole Eretz Yisrael, which is the Paradimu, is done out of Yerushalayim, that wasn't cleared away, and therefore he says that the Mokum Gita, the place of the pit of the burning of the Paradimu, has to be a place inspected because we cannot assume that it's Baduka like Yerushalayim is. Now, Igad Amri, it's Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan. Now, those who say that actually it was Rish Lakish asking Rabbi Yechanan from this Braisa. Because Rabbi Shua's words were, Ayyemesim Mabul, where are the dead from the Mabul? Ayyemesim Nebuchadnezzar, where are the dead from Nebuchadnezzar? Says Rish Lakish, my love, isn't Rabbi Shua saying, Medahane Hava, from the fact that the ones of Nebuchadnezzar, although they were cleared away, but they were killed in Eretz Yisrael, Sahani Nami Hava, so to those in Mabul, although maybe they were cleared away, but you see that they were, not like Rabbi Yechanan who says that the Mabul didn't happen, you see that it did happen in Eretz Yisrael. And that says the Gemara, no, Midi area, is that a proof? Hakadisa, no, each one was differently. You're right, none of them are here right now, but those of Nebuchadnezzar actually were killed and cleared away. But by the Mabul, it didn't even happen in the first place in Eretz Yisrael. Eisbe, however, Shlokesh continues asking Rabbi Yechanan for the following Braisa. The Pasuk says in Bereshis that Mikol HaShebacharav HaMesu. So actually, it's from a Pasuk in Bereshis that says that everything that was on dry land died in the Mabul. So says Rish Lakish, Bishlam Elididi, you can understand according to me, Damina Yerid Mabul Eretz Yisrael. I said that the flood came to Eretz Yisrael, Meshamacha Mesa. That's why everything on dry land died, even Eretz Yisrael. Elididacha, my Mesa, according to Rabbi Yechanan, says the Mabul didn't come to Eretz Yisrael. So then, why did they die everywhere, including Eretz Yisrael? Says Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Havlo. Because of the air that they died, which was from the flood, caused such a vapor, a deathly air space in the world. Therefore, even those in Eretz Yisrael passed away. Now, however, like Rabbi Yechanan's opinion is, but those who came after them, for the descendants of Noach, came and buried them in cemeteries. And therefore, you don't have to be suspect throughout Eretz Yisrael, rather in other lands where there was the flood, and then they got all sucked up into the mud and the muck that came all throughout the world. So then they're just all over the place. But in Eretz Yisrael, they just died on the ground. So then they put them all together and buried them in cemeteries. Rav Chizda said, Bereishchin kilkalu, with hot liquid they had strayed, which refers to the ejaculation of seed, which is hot and thick, And then in hot liquid they were judged, which was the water. So therefore, that was the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael, although it didn't have the actual liquid, but it had the heat that emitted from the marble, which like we see was hot, viscous liquid. The Chsev Hachad says over here, by the marble, that the water cooled down. Chsev Hassan says over there, in the Megillas Esther, that the anger of the king cooled down. So you see this idea that it's considered heat and hot, and therefore there was Havla, and therefore that's how those in Eretz Yisrael had passed away. Ikudami, that those that say, that to the opposite, it's Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. It was Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish from this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Mekol HaShabach HaRabba Mesa, all that on dry land died. Says Rabbi Yechon and Bishlam, according to me, Daminu Lo Yerid Mabal Eretz Yisrael, that I say the flood did not come to Eretz Yisrael, B'Shamachi HaVacharva, that's why it's called dry land. Eli Didach HaMayacharva, but according to you, what's it mean dry land? There was no dry land. Everything was liquid at the time of the Mabal. And that's Rish Lakish, no, Charva Shohisa Mi'ikara. It means the dry land that initially was before the flood. Now, my car, why are we calling it dry land? What was, but now it's all liquid? No, Kedir Rav Chizda. The Amr Rav Chizda, like Rav Chizda said, it's coming to say that B'der HaMabul, Le'nigzer Gezer Al Dagim Shabayam. In the generation of the flood, the decree was not said on the fish in the sea. Shlomak says in the Pasuk, Mekola Shabacharav Mesu, it's coming to say that the decree was what on was originally dry land, all those died. But not the fish in the sea that never was dry land, but always water. Actually, there they were not killed. That's why it says charav, to say that only those that were initially on dry land died, but not those that were the fish in the sea. Now, okay, that continues the Gemara. Bishlam el mandam lo yerid mabal eretz. So we could understand the contribution who says that the flood did not come down to Eretz Yisrael. Hayne de kamarim mahasim. So we could understand that's where the re'im, which there was a female and male animal, which is a mammoth animal, which is way too large to go into the ark. So they stood over there in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where they were saved. Elamanda meyered, but according to the Manda, Rish Lakish said that the Mabul came down to Eretz Yisrael too. So Rima Hechakam, where exactly was this Re'im? It couldn't fit into the Teva. So where exactly was it that it was saved? And we know that it continued to be even after the generation of the flood. So Rabbiani says, Gurius Hechnesu B'Teva. When they were young cubs, then they brought them into the ark, so therefore they were able to fit into the Teva. He says, "Ladidi chazli or zila derim." It says, "I saw the re'im of the sea, which is the one which lives at the edge of the sea, that was bas yema, a day old, meaning the day that it was born. V'have kahar taver. It was like Mount Tavor. Now, v'har taver kama have. How big is har taver? Our born parsi 40 parsa. Mashcha de taver. The length of its neck is tlasa parsi. It's 3 parsi, which a parsi is 4 mil." And Marbasa Deresha, and the square of its head, the place of where its head lays, is Parso Palga, is a parsa and a half. Ramakava, when it releases its dung in the Jordan River, Visachyard, and it stuffs up the Jordan River and stops the water from flowing. So you see, it's huge, even a day old, so even that couldn't fit in the table. So what exactly, where was it, if the Mabul is even there, it's Yisrael, according to Rish Lakish. So Mabich, and then he says, Roisha Echnis le Teba. You're right, its body was outside, but its head, they brought into the Teba. That is Sigma, but like we just said before, Marbata the Resha Parsa Palga, the square of its head, was a parsa and a half, which was much bigger than the Tevas. Even the head couldn't fit in. Ella rather says, Rabbi Yechon, Resh Chaitmai. The tip of its nose, its nostrils, were into the Teva, so therefore it was able to breathe. And that was Hechnis the Teva, that they put into the Teva. That is the Gemara, but Rabbi Yechon himself said, Lo Yerid Mabul Eretz Yisrael. That the Mabul did not come into Eretz Yisrael. So why does he have to give all these answers? That the head, oh, not the head, the nostrils. Why is he giving these answers if he could say very simply, it survived because it was in Eretz Yisrael? So it's like, well, Rish Lakish, right. He was answering just for the opinion of Rish Lakish, who says the Mabul is even in Eretz Yisrael. So then how, according to him, did the Re'im survive? It was that its nose was inside, the tip of its nose was inside the Teva. Now, however, the Gemara asked, practically speaking, but Vokasag Yateva. But the Teva was constantly moving, going with the ebb and flow of the water from high to low. So it comes out that the nose of the Re'im would slip out from the Teva and then die. How did it survive that way? So on Rish Lakish, he says, Karen of Karsha B'Teva, they tied its horns onto the ark. Now, and that is the Gemara, but Vamar Rav Chizda said, like we mentioned before, Anshe Dera Mabul, the people of the generation of the flood, Bereschen Kilkalu, they sinned with their hot seed. Ubereschen Nidanya, then we judge with hot liquid, So it comes out that if they were on the outside, these Re'emim, so then they would be scalded and be burnt from the boiling hot water. So even if its nose is in the inside, but its whole body would have been burnt from the water on the outside. Now, that responds to Gemara, but L'tamech, according to your reasoning, Teva Hechasagya. So then how exactly did the Teva go throughout the Mabul? It was tarred from the inside and the outside, as the Pasuk says, V'chafarta isim ebaisim echutim bereishis vav. Since the water was boiling hot, so how'd it go? And that its tar didn't just come boiling, just get boiled off. V'ayg, moreover, says the Gemara, Ayg melech ha-Bashan, Ayg the king of Bashan, which the Pasuk says, V'yavle ha-Palit, that the survivor came to tell Avram, which the Gemara needed of Samachal from Amabei says from Rabbi Yechon, that refers to Ayg, who he survived from the Anshidar ha-Mabul. Hechakai, how did he survive? He was also way too big to be inside. Where was he? Ella rather says the Gemara Nes Naslem, which answers the question that we had mentioned before. Obviously, a miracle was done for them. Shenitzdanenu b'tzidiat teva, that the area around the sides of the teva of the ark, also that area of the water cooled off, and that's where Oig was, and that's where the Re'im was, and that's why the tar didn't boil off. And you're right, the Re'im didn't need the teva at all because of its great height; it didn't drown, and it was able to be cooled off because it's right on the side of the teva. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Lubshim ben Lakish, Nehi nami diyerid mabel Eretz Yisrael, though he says that the flood came down to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he wants to say that the area of Eretz Yisrael is presumed that there is tuma from all the dead bones, but I ask the Gemara, but v'holi pash, but they didn't stay over there, the corpses from all those who died over there, because since Eretz Yisrael is very high, the waters actually all went down as it just dissipated to bubble, which is in the depths. Damar Shlakish, like Shlakish himself had said, Lamanek Rishma Mitzula. Why was Bavel called Mitzula, the depth? As the Pasuk says in Yeshayim Emdaud, Ha'oyim Mitzula, he who says to the depths, Charbi, dry up, Ishakal Mesi Mabul Nitzdalusham, because all the dead from the flood, they all sank down over there into Bavel. And Rabbi Yechonam, he says, Lamanek Rishma Shinner. Why is Bavel called Shinner? Shakal Mesi Mabul Ninurusham, because all the dead from the Mabul rolled down over there. So anyways, even if you say like him that there was a Mabul, but he should agree to Rabbi Yechonan that no one stayed over there, they all went down. So the Gemara, no, it's not possible that not some of them got stuck in the mud in Eretz Yisrael. We, although the majority of them rolled down, they're still scattered throughout, and therefore, according to Shlokas, that there was a Mabul, you have to suspect that there are dead scattered throughout. Now, Amr Bavo, he gives another interpretation, Lomenekar Shmo Shinner, why is Bavo called Shinner? Shemina Eris Ashireho, where it scatters out its wealthy ones, it shakes out its wealthy ones, meaning because they're not merciful on people, as the Gemara says in Beya Daflama Bezma Bez, that the wealthy above all are from those who descend into the Gehenim. So that's another reason why it's called Shinner, because that's why they lose their wealth also. Now that is the Gemara, but for Kachzindah, but we see that there are wealthy people in Babel. So the Gemara, no, Tlosa Dari Lemashchi does not sustain for three generations, and that's all coming from the fact because they're not Maracha Malabriyas. Now, Omer Abami says, Kol oichel ma'afar shel bavel, whoever eats from the dust of bavel, kilo oichel b'sar v'yisav, it's like he's eating from the flesh of his fathers, because again, like we said, all the dead roll down over there, and that's all in the earth of bavel. Tana Moch is similar in the Braisa, Kol oichel ma'afar shel bavel, whoever eats from the dust of bavel, kilo oichel b'sar v'yisav, like he's eating from the flesh of his fathers. V'yeshem, and then those who say, kilo oichel shkatzer masim, as if he's eating these vermin and these bugs, which again are from the Mabul, they all came down there and died there in bavel. Now the Gemara continues to explain the next halacha of our Mishnah, which spoke about something that if it's done outside of a designated area, but it's not going to be liable for doing it for l'avoid of bachutz, which the Mishnah said, sar ha-mishtalech, the he-goat that's sent away, which is supposed to be thrown off the cliff, la-azazel, on Yom Kippurim, which is the partner of the sar la-Hashem. So if one goes and sacrifices outside of the azara, one is going to be exempt for doing the avoid bachutz, because as the Mishnah said, anyways it's not done el-oil ma'id, and therefore, one's not going to be chayv for doing it chutz of where it's supposed to be liable for this isav chutz. Now, however, the Mishnah had brought the source from the pasuk because al pesach al moed lo hevir. And that is the Gemara v'Rimini from the following brisa, which the brisa is discussing the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin regarding shchutei chutz, this liability of slaughtering on the outside. The pasuk says lahakar of carbon, that one's going to go ahead and sacrifice a carbon, bring a carbon out of the area, which the brisa in Teres Kainim expounds. What does it mean, lahakriv carbon? To say that the liability is only for a carbon, but it's not if one, let's say, slaughters chulin in the azar. Meaning if you do a carbon out of the azar, then you're liable. But not if you do an unconsecrated animal in the azar. And that continues the braisa and says, oi, or maybe no. Maybe carbon, the word carbon, is not coming to say this idea that you're only liable for carbon outside, but not for a non-carbon inside. Rather, it's coming to make a liability that Shemayani, I would learn that Afilu Kachi Bedek HaBayis, that even if someone takes the temple fund types of animals, which are not designated Kachi Mezbech, to be slaughtered as carbonas, if one takes those animals and slaughters it out of the Azara, that even those, that one's going to be liable because Shenikru carbon, because those are also called carbon, things that bring close. Shnei, like it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, says Vanakrav is carbon Hashem, that we brought close the carbon of Hashem, which it says over there after the spoils of Midian, every man who found a golden vessel, bracelets and different types of charms, which all those things were only for Bedek HaBayis, and yet we see that they're called carbon Hashem. So maybe therefore maybe that's what the term carbon is coming to say, because we said it's not necessary. So we thought to say, okay, yeah, it's coming to say only carbon, not chulin bifnim. Say, no, maybe says the Brayse, carbon's coming to teach the extra word to tell you even Bedek HaBayis one would be chayiv for slaughtering it out of the Azara. Tamalem says the Brayse, no, that's what the Pasuk teaches of El Pesach El Moy Lehavir. The liability of Shchut Echutz is because you didn't bring it to the entry of the El Moyed, which tells you, Mishiro Lovaba El Moyed, only that which is fit to be brought and that's part of its avayd to be done in the El Moyed, in the Chatzar. That excludes the sanctified items of the temple upkeep, which they're not destined to be brought till Pesach Oil Ma'id. And that makes sense, the terminology that's not ro, like we find by the Paras Chatzis, which although it's Temimin, it's also unblemished, but it's called Ein Roy because it's not destined to be done in Chatzar El Ma'id. So I'm going to exclude these items, like the Bedek HaBayis, which are not destined that to be done in the Pesach El Ma'id. But says the Braisa, but I'm not going to exclude from the liability of Shchut Echutz the Sar, the Higo that sent away, Shuro Lavi El Pesach El Moed, where it is fit to be brought to the opening of the El Moed, because one has to bring it into the Chatzar, although it's not sacrificed over there, it's not slaughtered over there, it's actually thrown off a cliff outside, but the lottery has to be done to choose which Higo it's going to go Lashem to do the avodis inside, and which one's going to be thrown away, and also for the vidui, the confession that the Kohen Gadol would lean on the sar before it was sent away. So for those utilities, it was actually necessary to be brought to Pesach HaMoed. Maybe therefore we would be liable for Shchut Echutz because it would be categorized in the pasuk of Al Pesach HaMoed Lehaviyah, which is supposed to be brought, albeit not for slaughtering and sacrificing. Tamalayim Lashem says the Brayson, and that's why it says Lahakav Korban Lashem, which is that which is designated for Hashem. Lahitzi sar meshtalech, that excludes the higot which is sent away. She'enim yochal Hashem, which is not designated for Hashem, meaning he's not done all of the avodis nazar. Yes, the lottery is and the confession, but the rest of it's done outside, and therefore that would not be included in the liability of the isav shchut echutz. But one thing we see, as the Gemara from the Braise, the exclusion of the sar lazazel learned from the word Lashem, and not from El Pesach El Moed, lohevi'u, like we learned in our Mishnah. So it's more like Kash, not a difficulty. Khan, the Braisa, is talking about Koidim Hagrala, before the lottery is done. So then it's still role to be brought, it's still fit to be brought, and that's required to be brought Al Pesach Al Mayid because of the lottery. And therefore, had we not excluded from the word Lashem, then you actually would have thought that you'd be liable. Khan, La'ach Hagrala, our Mishnah, we're just talking about after the lottery was already done, and therefore it's not role of El Pesach El Moed, and therefore that's why the Mishnah excludes it from El Pesach El Moed, because it's not going to be brought anymore or required to be brought El Pesach El Moed. And that is the Gemara, Ach HaGrala Nami, but even after the lottery, Ha'ek HaVidui, there's still the confession, the Sar Lazalza has to be brought into El Pesach El Moed for the Kohen Gadol to confess all the sins of the Jewish people on there. So Elam HaRav Mani, rather he says, no, like Kasha, Kan Koidim Vidui, rather no, the Brayse is talking about before the confession, and therefore it still has to be brought in, and therefore it's still ro love El Pesach El Moed, therefore it has to be excluded from Lashem. Khan Lachavida, whereas our Mishnah told him, even after the confession, now it's not brought in for anything else anymore. And that's when we told him that if you do the Avodah outside, what are we going to exclude it from? Because it's not even El Pesach El Moed. You're right, before the Hagrala, before the Vidui, which we said that even if it's just before the Vidui, that you have to exclude from the word Lashem because it's still ro love El Pesach El Moed, and therefore you would have thought that you'd be liable. That's why the Braisa learns it out from Lashem to say only what's Meyuchel Hashem, but not the Sar HaMishtalech, which is not Meyuchel Hashem, because not all of its Avodahs are done in the Azara.